Blog Talk Radio.
Hump Day, everybody. This is Hump Day Prime Time, March 18, 2015. We're reviewing the week of trending stories and headlines from mainstream, independent, and social media. Tonight, we're going to start off with the one that has been the one thing that has been trending heavily in social media, and it's gotten some talk in mainstream media, but it's Creflo Dollar and his $65 million airplane. Last Thursday, we started seeing social media blow up with the indication that Creflo Dollar had put up a crowdfunding site asking for $300 from 200,000 of his parishioners, and I guess since it was a crowdfunding site, he wanted, you know, regular folks to kick in too, for a brand new Gulfstream G650. And within like 12 hours of that thing going up, it was viral. But it wasn't viral in the way that he actually like got the airplane. I'm sure he's going to get it, but a lot of people start questioning, why did he really need an airplane? I mean, but please do not go and tell anybody who is a follower or who goes to world changes that their pastor is wrong for asking for an airplane. I mean, I can't close to, you know, I think offending some folks because my whole thing is Jesus walked. And, you know, if you follow me on social media, you've probably seen one of the memes I put up that said, Jesus walked so Creflo could fly. It's kind of crazy. You know, $65 million. Do you know what $65 million buys? Well, let's start out with the military budget. $65 million is about one and, I think, three-quarters of an F-35, Lightning II fighter jet. That's the new jet that they're in the process of probably that they'll be introduced in the next year or so. But that jet costs $35 million a piece. So you can pretty much get two of those for the cost of what a couple of dollars want to spend on a private jet. And this is a bad-ass fighter plane. Then, this is why I'm using the fighter plane as an example, because, you know, Progressive Groups has been using the F-35 as an example of all the other things you can pay for other than an F-35 fighter jet. You could pay $35 million. Now, we're going to take you taking that up to 65. How many college educations could Creflo Dollar pay for with $35 million? Why you ain't gonna ask for, put up on the crowdfunding site, I want to pay $65 million for college education in the United States. Everybody give me $300, and I want to make sure that everybody who wants a college education will get one until this $65 million is gone. You know how many four-year tuitions you get paid for? A lot. Then you can sit there and think about, okay, what else $65 million get paid for? In some cities here in America, $65 million could possibly eliminate homelessness. I ain't talking about putting up everybody in a nice apartment, but in Washington State, they have this program where they got these little small houses. They're probably about 500 square feet, and they've basically eliminated homelessness in that town based on these little houses. It didn't cost them, I don't think, that much, $65 million. Maybe a million, even if it was that. It might have been a half a million or three-quarters of $1 million. But $65 million, you probably could eliminate homelessness in the city of Atlanta. So let's go ahead and add $300 on 200,000 people to eliminate homelessness in a city. I think is a pretty good thing. $65 million. Do you know if $65 million could eliminate for food across America? How many hungry people could we feed with $65 million? I know that's like some of the money we give the foreign countries for their food aid programs. So if we can talk about spending that right here and there, I'm sure we can get that. My point is that we're talking about $65 million for a private jet, and I listen to Creflo supporters, and I understand that he preaches in New York on Saturday night, and he likes to preach at World Changes on Sunday morning here in Atlanta, and that he has all these worldwide ministries they get into, and flying on Delta might be a little hard. I get that flying on Delta could be a little hard. But Pope Francis doesn't own an airplane. He charters one from Alitalia. He doesn't even own the helicopter. That belongs to the Italian Air Force. And he is the pontiff. He's the vicar of Rome. The successor to Peter, which Jesus said was the rock of the church, the first pope picked by Jesus. So he didn't have succession. And he actually the time of tried to tone it down. You know, the rich man asked Jesus, what can I pay to get into heaven? Jesus told him, nothing. Give it all up and go and come with me. And what did he do? Turn around and went away. We ain't hear about that cat in the Bible no more. I mean, it's so many different issues that I have with that because of the amount and the capabilities. His PR people, which if any of you happen to be listening or know any of them, I'm feeling a tad bit, kind of get into you because, one, you need to know about you. Before you release a statement about your boss and his airplanes, kind of learn about what airplanes do and what their capabilities are before you say that, because there are a lot of people in aviation and they heard this statement. And it was kind of like, somebody don't know what they're talking about. And it made the problem worse. If you're somebody's public relations person, your job is not to make the situation worse. It's to make it better. So they were talking about when he leaves, he has to put food and all of that stuff on the plane with him because he's going into different areas. What I'm asking, okay, what the food is for? Is it to take to the people that he's going to go see in these foreign lands? Because I'm going to tell you, one of Gulfstream does not do a good job of landing on rough airfields. It doesn't do that very well. He ain't going to be very well-prepared airfields for that type of stuff. So he's not feeding the hungry and the British on his plane. Okay? Two, they were talking about an excess of 100,000 pounds of stuff, and this plane can only carry 90,000, and that is including the people on board. So you can't even get to close to 100,000 pounds worth of foodstuff being placed on this plane and people are going with it. That's not going to happen. And so are you taking food for yourself? So you is that what you're doing? You're taking foodstuff for yourself so your people don't have to eat locally sourced foods, which I know a lot of people take in stuff with them when they go into foreign areas, like water and stuff, because the food supply chain is not necessarily safe, and particularly if you're not used to eating it, it will mess an American up. So, when it comes to Creflo, it really just, that bothered me. And there's so many different avenues he can take places that they can take them. I mean, he can do sharing with somebody else and get together with a couple of other pastors, him and Bishop Long and John Holt and all of them can get together, get a jet, and they just set their time out on it. Split the cost. You can get a Learjet instead of a Gulfstream. You can get, and this jet that he wants to get is primarily if you go to the Gulfstream site and you can get into there and you can sit there and go through it. These jets are usually owned by people who have billionaire status. That them buying this plane will be a drop in the bucket for them. It'll be like, you know, one of our, you know, upper middle class people being able to drop the, you know, they can drop money like that for a Honda. Like, all right, it's a $25,000 car shoe. Poof, that's it. But see, this is like me in my current state sitting there coming down and saying, you know what? I want a Lexus. I want a Lexus truck. Or I want y'all to get me, no, better yet, I want a Bugatti. And I want the Bugatti because I want to go to all these nice political events and all around the state and the nation, and I want to drive up in style so people think that I'm really the man and I got something. That's what they basically say. And if I asked y'all for to get me a, you know, to get me a Bugatti out there, most of y'all would laugh. Now, you might help me, you know, seeing as I'm a little car challenge now, you might help me get a little pluck. You know what I'm saying? Y'all might help me get a little 92 Honda if I said I really needed it, and y'all know I try to do my thing. But I still have issue with that because you're talking about traveling, you know, it's for the church. Well, are you going to allow when that plane is sitting there, can church members, that lady who drives the bus to World Changers, you know, she want to go, she ain't seen her sister in maybe 15 years because she lives in California and she would really like to see her. Are you going to let her hop a ride? These are all the questions I want to know. I would like, you know, that to be broken down to me for $65 million. Now, from what I understand about all the World Changers members and whatnot, oh, he going to get his jet. But I would really like for y'all to, you know, get an understanding of why all the rest of us Christians are tripping out. Because, like, my church, which tries to do a lot of work in the community, we have a hard time trying to convince folks we need a church van. Because it's like, why we need a van? We know if you want somebody to come to church with you, if you invite people to church, why we got to go get a van and go pick them up when you can go pick them up and bring them in. And that's what we do. We call people on our own personal calls so that we can continue to put money into the church to keep it going into our other programs, like, you know, the food closet and all the other little stuff that we do and help them get people jobs. And that's a little small town. And we don't. It's nice. My father was saying, he said, I asked him, I said, can we get you an airplane? And he said, get me a church van. That's what he asked for. He asked for a church van. And Kirby asked him for an airplane. But see, I know my pastor, if I gave him a church van, if he was in it, he'd probably be driving it to go get people. It wouldn't be used for him to go back and forth to go do stuff in. You would never catch him in it by himself to go do stuff. He would go get in his car and go do it. Because he, you know, that just, come on, man, you ask him. Okay, I'm going to be careful on that, but y'all see how I'm feeling about that. That ain't flying. Second thing that I'm kicking up, and it just popped up this morning, you know, so we like to talk about trending things, and it probably hasn't caught on in mainstream media because this guy's trying to break off in the independent media, but Glenn Beck, the Blaze owner, former Fox News pundit, has said, I am quitting the Republican Party. It's at that point. He's quitting the Republican Party. Now, I've seen progressives and liberals raise their hands up like, yes. Yes, he's left the Republican Party. My question is, where he going? That is not necessarily a good thing to me. That means that cat is a free agent. That means that his craziness can be completely unhinged because he does not have to worry about offending the party apparatus. he can take his blaze money and put it behind the truly crazy up there on Capitol Hill. He said he ain't giving the party no more money. That's what he said. He wasn't giving the party any more money. He was giving, but he didn't say nothing about his little buddies up there like Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton and, you know, all of them. So think about it. This cat is now free agent, money bucks. Finna get crazy for the rest of them. And he has a media. He has a medium in which he can give them all kinds of crazy access. Now, I don't watch the Blaze personally myself. All the time I go through this, I just happen to be clicking and I go across it, and they be like, what the hell? And I sit and watch it for a while, but I got to be careful because I start feeling my ears want to bleed from because I'm about ready to explode from hearing the stupidity. You know, I go, you know, it's just like I can only watch Fox News for maybe about 30 minutes. The Blaze is down to about 10. That's the level of craziness I'm talking about. So, you got Glenn Beck, he's a left, and for you, you know, Glenn Beck, you know, when he was on Fox, you know, the reason he left is Fox won't let him get as crazy as he wanted to get. And y'all know how crazy Fox News is. And he's crazier than Fox News. So I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I don't know if my progressive brothers and sisters want to keep raising their hand and heroic, you know, and thinking that a great day has come, because that is cat is loose. When somebody will let a doggone tiger out, and we might have need to put that thing down. Another story that popped across the, you know, that I've just been following, not necessarily, it's been just trending. It was trending, it was going viral, but you know how you get those stories, they go viral, and everybody's following them for like a week or two, and then it dies off, but other stuff is going on, and you got to be kind of, if you're like me, you kind of want to know what happened afterwards, so you keep watching, and you look this person up every once in a while, and little news stories pop up. Well, we got one that, everybody remember James Robinson, the guy in Detroit. He went viral a couple of weeks ago because he was walking 21 miles to work every day. Now, I got to give his brother props. I got to give him props because I really didn't want to see me walking 21 miles every day. Well, he didn't walk at all, but he walked very significant portions of it because where he lived, bus service, on, where he worked, bus service didn't always get him there. And then, if you know, gaps in transportation. And so he walked part of the way, he catch rides with certain people, he catch the bus, and then he walked some more. And basically, he spent more time walking to work, getting to work, than he actually worked. He had an 8-hour shipment from what we all understand in Easter. It took him like 16 hours to get to work. I mean, he spent that much time. He like get home at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, get a couple of hours sleep because he get up at 4 to start that whole trek over again. I mean, it's crazy. I think he like worked second shift somewhere. Second or third shift somewhere, and he had to leave in the morning to get second shift somewhere, and he had to leave in the morning to get to work. Get off at night and get back home just enough time to lay his head down. And this guy never missed a day at work. For the last 10 years, he's been like, every day for the last 10 years, no sickness, no nothing kept this guy down. Well, you know, people started talking about it. There was this guy, he worked for USB Bank, UBS Bank. Bankers would see him and give him a ride sometimes. So there are good people who work in the banking industry. They are there because he used to get his guy a ride, and they got to know each other. This, that, other. He started talking about this story about this guy. And then there's this college student had heard about it, and he set up a GoFundMe site for this guy. And he gave like got $350,000 for this guy, and Ford gave him a brand new car. And you think this guy's life is on top of the world? Well, here comes the bad part, and it ain't him. It's the people surrounding him. The moment folks who find out he had money, you know how it is, you're in the hood. You know, you got folks who ain't really worth, you know, you got folks around you who really ain't about their business, you know what I'm saying? They want to come in and they want to, hey, bro, can I hold something? You know, you my boy. You know, let me hold something. Your woman started, all of a sudden she gets extravagant in her wants and needs. She was all right, but now it's like, you know, I need $10,000 to go get my ass fixed. I'm just playing. She ain't say that. At least I don't think she did. But, you know, he leaves his girlfriend with his landlord. And she been charging him $880 a month. Now, this is a man charging him $880 a month for a bedroom apartment, like a little bedroom, boarding house type deal. She was charging him that for that. And so she was like, he told me he was going to give me $50,000 to fix the place up. You know, he kind of, you know, he was nasty, and he got that grease and stuff on walls and stuff like that, and was harassing him. And then you got other people harassing him. He parked his car at the police precinct so nobody would steal it. Then the girlfriend brings her ex-husband and her son to intimidate him for the $50,000. First of all, if she didn't know how to get that $50,000 the right way, which y'all know what she could have did. She could have looked him up. But you want to be intimidating. He's smart. He didn't get caught up on that. So sooner or later, he realizes after, you know, around the same time, there was a lottery winner in Detroit about the same time. And this guy won $20,000. And ended up dead. So Mr. Robinson said, you know, and all the people that, you know, that helped him get where he needed to get to this point, they said, hey, you know, we might need to get you up out of here because things ain't right. So he started sleeping in different places until they found him an apartment. Now, this is he. He has an apartment now in a suburb of Detroit, which is only now 21 minutes from where he works. And he pays $800 a month. And he has, like, beaucoup more space than he was getting in that little bedroom that his girlfriend was charging him $880 for. So, you know, people were exploiting him. You know, he gonna go to work, he gonna do what he gotta do. People are exploiting this man. So, now we're sitting there thinking about, you know, I talked about the banker. Now, the banker dude, since I tried to help him out in the student, the banker dude, guys, since he said it would be unethical for him to personally handle this guy's accounts, he helped some folks get it. And they're doing the accounts that the UBS Bank are handling this man's account pro bono. Okay, pro bono. Like I said, there's some good people in banking somewhere, and God don't bless them. The young man and everybody who does a couple of smaller sites, and those folks gave him money. He upset himself up this day. And but he said, I'm having to leave. He said, I grew up in that neighborhood, and I'm having to leave everybody that I knew behind because everybody's trying this man. They not being his friends. Everybody coming needing something. Now, he said he'll help. He's helped some people out. He's donated some money. And he said, you know, people need, you know, there are people that need help. But you got people who, you know, ain't trying to do no better, ain't going to do no better. We all know them type of people. They got their hand out, gimme, gimme, gimme. And when he says, no, I don't think, you know, I can help you out, these folks are getting violent. So he fed for his life. So it's real, you know, so he's doing good and that, got a house, got the car, you know, bought furniture and stuff for his place. And these people are managing his money so that he can take that $350,000 that he got and make that thing make money. They say he should never ever have to worry about rent being paid, you know, insurance on his car. He got health insurance. All he wants is make sure that he has enough money to retire off of. He said, I ain't trying to live big. This guy had bought a big screen TV, so he can do the one thing that he just really loved doing, was he loved baseball. Now he got a chance to sit there and watch baseball. And he's trying to figure out now what I do with all my time, because for the last 10 years, all he's been doing is walking to work and working. That is awesome. So that, you know, but we got to, you know, people, it's a shame that people got to, you know, move when they do good You know how folks in the hood do you when you leave, you do good, you leave. Oh, he don't care about us no more. He ain't good enough to live around us no more. But there's a reason behind that. People start looking to do you in. You know, and a lot of folks have tried to stay in the hood. We see what that can get from, you know, your homeboys start doing stupid stuff. You had to bail them out. They start fighting dogs. They start doing all kinds of stuff. You trying to stay in the hood and help folks out. Then they get you in trouble, Rock Vic. They get you in trouble, and you co-sign, and you do the time. They ain't got shit nowhere. The government don't want them. The folks don't want them. But so you have to be careful. You know, there's a balancing act of being able to deal with people that you love and care about, and when you get something, because then you find out how much they love and care about you. Next, I want to talk about these existential Negroes that have been popping up in the news. Now, I really haven't read all the comment statements, so I'm going to leave comment alone. But Raven Simone, I understand that young people having went through some of the same struggles that our ancestors, you know, that my mother's generation went through, or my grandmother's generation went through, and Raven is the generation behind me. She's like my kids' generation, my older kids' generation. But to diminish the fact that it's racism, it's still out there. And even when you grow up in integrated groups, you know, I find young people that I know, particularly like those who live in LaGrange, Georgia, are starting to have some issues. When your friends come up to you and say, "You don't act black." I don't know, my son tell me this, and he has friends that tell him this, white friends that tell him this, and black friends that tell him this. And then you got, I got other kids I know, they're constantly dealing with this thing because what they come in, they've grown up in an integrated society. And they've attempted to, you know, and broaden their horizons. Like, my son plays guitar. And he loves rock music when he plays. And he still loves trap music. Don't get it wrong. But he also likes guitar music. And he'll get there playing guitar. And folks, like, that's some white boy stuff, but that ain't what black folks do. And this, that, and other. Those kind of things come out your mouth. Because people are projecting cultural views on stuff. And I find it offensive if somebody come tell me, you know, you talk white. Or you don't act black. What the hell is that supposed to mean? You know, that's a racist statement in itself. It means that, what does that mean? Somebody explain that. What does that mean? You know, you talk white or you don't act black. You know, and we do it to somebody, even, and I'm not going to be even killed about this, because you know how you got the white boy that live in the hood? You know what I'm saying? He done grown up with everybody. He got a little swag. You be like, you don't even act like a white boy. And why is that how he got it? Like, what does that mean? I am what I am. I just grew up with, I'm a part of the culture that I am. I mean, so if I grow up around a certain group of people and they do certain things, and that's all that I know, that's what I do, so don't come up and tell me I don't act black. I speak white. Or whatever it is that you may be wanting to project upon me, because it really shouldn't have to do with color. It shouldn't, but it still does. So when people diminish that and act like, oh, it's not an issue, yes, it is. Get your head screwed on straight, just because you live in L.A. and everybody, you know, you better go check the L.A. police department out, because they don't let you know that it. Yes, the racism right there, Raven, go get popped in South Central. I want you to go out and do crazy stuff in South Central, and they better bring your car, baby. They will get you. You'll be on the news, and the next thing you know, you'll be sitting out there talking about Black Lives Matter. I just want you to put that out there. And I will come back to comment after I read his statement a little bit more deeper, but I do understand he said, I want to reach my hand across. And we do need to reach our hand across in America to help get these racial divisions tapped out. But to do that does not mean that we have to assimilate. You know, I'm a Trekkie. And the one thing I always enjoyed about Star Trek was that people, cultures were respected even though they were in the Starfleet uniform. Regardless if you were Klingon or Bajoran or whatever, your Vulcan, whatever it was, nobody tried to make you be human. They tried to understand your cultural values and gave you time to observe those things and deal with those things in a manner that was pretty decent and made you feel like you was a part of a greater collective that respected who you were. And see, in America, where they were, I feel like sometimes it's an assimilation game. You know, people want black people to stop being black people. Really, the truth, people, that's my personal opinion. I think people want black people to stop being black people. I think they want us to be a darker version of white people. Forget that we came from Africa. Now, I enjoy my African heritage. It's something that a European that I truly enjoy. It's Asian things that I enjoy. And it breaks, but I don't forget the crux of the essence of who I am. So we really have to work on those, how we're going to do a truly, I don't think it's ever going to be post-racial. It's going to be, when do we come to understanding that race is something that is there, we learn to respect it, and we understand that our differences is what make us strong. So I'm going to take a slight break here for a second, and we're going to take a little break, and then I'll be right back, and we're going to continue Hump Day prime time. Time, March 18th, 2015. We just got through talking about a couple of things that I've seen out on the national scale. Let's bring it back to good old Georgia and what's going on around here. Let's take and do a quick talk of what's going on up under the Gold Dome, and this is our Gold Dome report sponsored by MOS Strategies. We still got the same two issues. The same three issues bugging the General Assembly here in Georgia. Religious Freedom Restoration Act, transportation, and marijuana. Those are the three big ones hitting it right now. They're getting folks kind of riled up. And then there's a fourth one that I'm going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to give a little, it is really going to get my rant. Because I usually will sit here and rant about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was introduced by Senator Josh McCone and his little buddies over there in the House. And this is my thing. It's a discrimination bill. It legalizes discrimination. Discrimination, 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 discrimination. I want any Christian that feels like they've been discriminated against to step forward about how they feel they were discriminated in a business place. I want to see this. I want to know how they, how Christians feel discriminated against by me coming into their place of business wanting to just spend my money with them. I want to know. Because you talk about people being discriminated in a country that 75% of the people are saying that they are part of that religious background or religious faith, or they connect themselves to Christianity. You got the majority of people who are in government positions being people who profess that same religion, Christianity, regardless of it's Protestantism, Catholicism, Orthodoxy, whatever it is. You got a large proportion of those people who are in power profess to be Christians. But yet we have people that are being discriminated against by the same group of people who run the government. Christians are persecuting Christians. And that's the way I was trying not to be persecuting Christians. Well, you Christian, and now I'm going to use a cuss word. Maybe you're an asshole, and that's why people discriminate against you. It is not illegal to discriminate against assholes. Because if I did, if I see somebody coming to my cake shop, because cake has always been the thing, because for some reason, Christian babies are mad because lesbians and gay people want to come buy cakes for their wedding from them. So if I see somebody come in, and I assume, until they open their mouth, they tell me, okay, take the cake. Don't take the case. But my question is, you doing so good in there, you can tell a lot of money? And I know I'm a Christian, so, well, you can't compromise your views for a dollar. Yeah, yes, you can, and it's kind of slavery. Right, good Christian, beat the hell out of black folk in this country, lynch them, kick them, be like that, because it's good for their pocketbook. So don't give me that argument. Okay? Don't give me that argument. That you can't compromise your good Christian value for almighty dollar. The American system was built upon that same concept. The fact that you, some of the stuff, other stuff that these so-called Christian writers, the people in the Christian right do, it's because our asshole people want to discriminate against you. So then we come to this point and ask this question. So, as I asked Josh McClain this question on his Facebook page, and he deleted it, so I'm going to put it out here again. So if I'm a Christian and I got my JFM sticker on my car, and I have my little Jesus fish back there, and I have a sticker on my car that says, I love Jesus, and I stop at the BP, in a grange, up on a parkway that is owned by some East Indians, South Asians, who, for my gathering of the paraphernalia that's in the building, I want to say he's a Muslim or Sikh. I come up there and I love Jesus stuff on my car. Is it okay that they not allow me to come back? Is that true? That they were. So, that bothers me. Because is that good? Can they do it? Because they we are offending them by being Christian. You know, a lot of the gas stations, if it's not McDonald's Oil or whoever owns the Summit in LaGrange, if it's not them, it's usually those other gas stations are owned by South Asians. Okay, a lot of the hotels in the area are run by South Asians. So what if they decide they don't want to allow you to sleep in a hotel? Because you're Christian. Or the large number of Dairy Queens that are owned by South Asians. I'm using South Asians for a reason. Because the Hindi and Sikh religion and Islam are all the major religions that are usually outside of our cultural understanding. Because, see, we have a Judeo-Christian understanding. So we all know we cool with Jews. We cool with you. We share the same thing. We share the same Bible and everything. We're the Old Testament part of it. You know what I'm saying? But these people who completely live outside of that Judeo-Christian bubble own a lot of property. They provide a lot of services. They do a lot of things that they have become, really, you almost want to stereotype, but you got to be careful when you say certain industries. You know that these people, it's like you say half-breeding, you think Africans. If you're an African-American, you think half-breeding, you automatically be like, okay, are they Dominican? Is there certain things that kind of go there, but I'm not stereotyping. But what I'm saying is because there are industries that are heavily serviced and owned by certain ethnic groups, and these ethnic groups have different religious backgrounds and religious cultures than we do, is it okay for them to deny me business? I promise you, when these white, Anglo-Saxon, Christian, Protestant people start having different things happen to them, they will have a freaking fit. So it's wrong. It's wrong, 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 wrong. Kill that bill. Next, you know, we talked about the transportation bill. Transportation bill is still giving some back and forth. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be real short on this one. We should have voted for T-Splash because Governor Deal told y'all when he was doing it, he was going to get it one way or the other. He told T-Splash would have been a lot better. He would have got that little pen and moved on about his business. But now you got all these extra fees that are going to hit the middle class harder. You're talking about extra fees on your car. We got extra gas, extra things going to be added to your gas. You got all these other different things they're talking about doing that are going to hit people directly in their pockets to get this transportation money. Because it seems like they're backing off and taking the 1 cent from the cities. Seems like they're backing off from that. But we should have just paid for it in a 1 cent state sales tax. This is what I was trying to tell folks back in 2012. But people wanted to act the ass and not get it because they thought it was all going to Atlanta. But it's all going to Atlanta anyway, and they're going to get you because this will pass. They're going to get this transportation money. Next, marijuana bill. It seems like they're trying to push for clinical trials on children dealing with epilepsy. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it until somebody gets it and they start going down there and dealing with this issue. This is a pure issue dealing with the fact of we don't know who's going to go to marijuana yet. They're trying to get a hedge on that market. That's all this is about. They can't figure it out yet. When they figure it out, then they'll, I promise you, the moment they figure out they're going to make, how everybody, the crony capitalists figure out they're going to make their money, once they figure that out, they are going to legalize marijuana, not just recreational. They're not even going to do medical. It's going to go all the way to recreational. They'll phase it in over a couple of years, but it's going to go there because then they're going to make money. They're going to make money, and they're going to figure out a way to make money to make it legal and still put folks in jail about it, too. So they're going to figure it out. Then I'm going to, and actually, now that I'm sitting here and thought about it, I got a second issue that comes off of that. I thought I got one more I was going to land on, but then I got another one. But the next one deals with education, and it's the fact that they are still trying to push through a bill to ban AP history. AP history. I'm trying to sit there and think about that for a moment. Why would any? Now, they say it's because they feel like it's biased. Now, we all know going to school, this is what we learned about history. 1492, Columbus crossed the ocean blue, and he discovered America. Well, we now know in the year 2015 that Columbus, in fact, did not discover America. That if you're going to use the word discovery, as in a within the time period, Anno Domini, there were many other groups that came to America before Columbus. We know that the Vikings hit in the 1000s. There's possible even some Africans touched South America in the 7th century. They talk about other middle-aged travelers making it to the coast of North America prior to Columbus. But, okay, we can handle that part. But when we get to talking about Columbus got here and he committed genocide, they don't like that part. They don't like the part that when European settlers got here, they not only brought their slaves and had their slaves living in horrendous conditions and stripped these people of their cultural identity, but at the same time, they were committed genocide against the native peoples that were here, forced them off their land, destroyed their culture, and completely wrecked their way of life. We don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that up until the labor laws came into play and governments started putting regulations on sanitation, this, that, and the other, people in large cities lived in complete squalor. And that the progressive movement was something that was good and it made life in the world better. They don't like that. So we're going to stop teaching. They want people to stop teaching it because it does not form their worldview. But it's the damn truth. We only just because history, the days of history being printed that it actually builds up the victor, it should be wrong because if we know where we came from, we're not bound to, we it makes it harder for us to repeat the same exercise over and over again. And if you look at the things that the Republicans are wanting to do, is they want to take their country back, they want to revert to another time period, they want to regress. And it's like, really, if you look at people who vote Republican and you look at people who vote Democrat, or at least progressive voters, and you start looking at, you know, education levels and intelligence quotients and stuff of that nature, we see the difference, and we now know why they want people not to be educated. We now understand why they're not big on public education. It's the same reason they didn't want slaves to learn how to read. So we got that understanding. The other thing that's going on in the Gold Dome is this annexation deal with Atlanta and Druid Hill area. How in the hell can you live in another county, represent a whole other group of people, tell people that, and you introduce a bill to force this county, to force its people to vote so you can go in there and take their land? That sounds like Anschluss to me. That sounds like Anschluss. That was Hitler did to Czechoslovakia when it came to their land. That's exactly what he's doing, what they're doing. The city of Atlanta is a complete, we got some people that look like us, smell like us, kind of live like us in the Druid Hills area. And we think they're like being in Atlanta. So we're going to introduce a bill that's going to force DeKalb County to give it up, to force their people to give it up. If nobody in DeKalb County, none of the people who represent them, have filed a bill yet, who the hell is the people, the Atlanta, the Fulton County delegation, or the Atlanta delegation, to force this issue upon somebody? That's straight up crazy. It's setting a bad precedent. So let's say Marietta wants a piece of DeKalb County wants a piece of Douglas County, or Troop wants a piece of Meriwether County, or Muskogee wants some of Harris. We need to start going to counties all over the place with big cities, and they decide they want to annex parts of other counties to augment their tax base or whatever it is that they want to do. It's crazy. You know, we get Georgia politics look like some third world stuff going on. Now, I'm going to bring one up here. I had a question asked to me just now on Facebook. And it has to do, this is actually in Tennessee. A Tennessee Republican claimed that 200,000 good paying jobs are potentially bad for the state. And the problem, it seems like here, is that we have an issue with these 200,000 new jobs in Tennessee being bad for the state because they're union jobs. Ooh, let me not get started on labor. Because labor is a wonderful thing. The labor movement is just great. And it's amazing that anything that causes regular people to have a say in anything that deals with their personal lives, the Republicans are dead set up against. They are dead set up against people choosing their own destiny like 80% of the time. If it does not include people who think like them choosing their own destiny, if it goes against what they want, oh, they don't like it. That's the whole reason they don't like unions. See, unions is private sector democracy. If you really want to get an understanding, that's what unions are. That's what the labor movement is about. It's about private sector democracy. Because, see, what happens is in regular public life, we have the ability to vote in the direction that our government should be taking. Now, they really not listening to us. Our government really doesn't listen to us anymore because of the things that conservatives have done to roll back our ability to get decent representation, such as Citizens United and stuff of that nature, which allows people to buy influence inside of our governmental bodies. Well, that's the same thing. Unions do the same thing that the right to vote does. It gives workers a say in the conditions and the operations of the business that they're operating in. It says, I got a say in how much you're going to pay me. I got a say in how we run production, and this and I have a say. It democratizes the workplace in which private owners don't like that. They don't like that. They feel like they have the right to do whatever they want to do to you, and that's what they're going to do, and that unions are a bad thing. And once we get them all busted up, they can put children back to work in that factory because you don't have to pay them as much. So, I mean, that's just wild. That's crazy. But I had a wonderful experience the other day. I got to call on a People Demanding Actions radio show, Agitator Radio, and we talked about Stop Mass Incarceration Network and police brutality. So there's going to be an action that they are planning in cities all across the United States. And so I'm going to start talking about it in the next couple of weeks because it's April 14th. And I don't know if anybody in Atlanta is already on top of this or whatever, and I'm sure they are. But if you are out there and you don't think you know about this, I would love to talk to you on one of my shows so we can talk about stopping mass incarceration and then police brutality and have a day. This is not as usual. And if you're interested in the whole movement of stopping mass incarceration, I have a website, and that's stopmassincarceration.net. Go check that out. Look at it. And I'm going to be talking about it in the next couple of days and running up. And then over the next week, I'm going to be pounding that hard because I'm a member of the mass incarceration IOT with the Progressive Democrats of America. So I really, that's a thing that's close to my heart. And speaking on that, y'all all know there's another show here on Down South and Dirty Radio, which the Hump Day Primetime is on that network. We got another show, Down South and Dirty, with Scott Smith, which is on Sundays at 1:30, and that's a call-in show. And we really like to get down into it. And we're going to be talking about this week coming up. On Sunday, we're going to be talking about the police state. And I'm just not going to be talking about the shooting of unarmed black men. I'm going to be talking about the state. There's a large portion of it. We're going to go into the deeper issues that surround that and how we are slipping from a democracy into this police state in which we're going to find ourselves in more and more everyday lives coming in contact with a very aggressive police force that really you know, is not there to serve and protect, nor take care, you know, or make sure that we have rights under the Constitution of the United States. And this is an issue that's showing up as an issue of major concern, not just on progressive side, but there are conservatives and people from the right who are also just as concerned about this issue. So we're going to get down on that on Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, you can always call in on that show. And so you keep your eyes peeled, keep your eyes on social media for all the information that's coming forth today. That's here. You can usually click that same link, just put Down South and Dirty or DSD to search for that, and you'll see that link on Sunday. It'll be up on Facebook. It'll be on Twitter. If you're a subscriber to this from Blog Talk Radio, you can get email alerts. That's a wonderful thing, wonderful, wonderful thing. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Hump Day Prime Time, but I want to get you all to understand that it's just not about voting. It's about being a citizen. And if you're going to be a citizen, engage yourself. Engage yourself. Being a citizen is not just about voting. It's engaging yourself. And I want you to go out there and engage yourself. This is Hump Day Prime Time, March 18th, 2015, and I'm Scott Smith. See you next time.